Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we visit with Dr. Tommy Sowers from the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and learn about some veteran-friendly changes at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
June 6, 1944. 160,000 Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the beaches of Normandy, France. General Dwight D. Eisenhower called the operation a crusade in which we will accept nothing less than full victory. More than 5,000 ships and 13,000 aircraft supported the D-Day invasion, and by day's end, on June 6th, the Allies gained a foothold in Normandy. The D-Day cost was high. More than 9,000 Allied soldiers were killed or wounded, but more than 100,000 soldiers began the march across Europe to defeat Hitler. Today, Father's Day, 69 years later, I pause and reflect on what our men in uniform have sacrificed for our country. I am in awe of great service in any generation. While demands and pressures are different today than they were on D-Day, selfless service prevails among the diversity of service members.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Dr. Tommy Sowers, Assistant Secretary of Public and Intergovernmental Affairs for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. Sowers, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here, Tom.
Dr. Sowers, that's a long title.
I need two business cards to fit it all on.
And you're also a veteran of the military.
That's right. That's right.
Let's start with your military career. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. I did ROTC and was commissioned in 98, was commissioned as a combat engineer, served with the Big Red One over in Germany, tour over in Kosovo. Then I moved over to Special Forces. I was a Green Beret, a couple tours in Iraq, and ended up as a professor at West Point.
And how in the world did you get to be the Assistant Secretary for the Department of Veterans Affairs?
You are not the only person to ask that question, I'm sure, but it's an incredible honor. Look, President Obama and Secretary Shinseki, I think, wanted a perspective from the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts within their senior council. So they nominated me, the Senate confirmed me, and I've been at it for about 8 months.
Certainly your background as a military engineer and in the Green Berets and being deployed twice should give you a lot of good personal information in dealing with our veterans.
Well, for me, it really is personal because when I was in the military, like many folks in the military, didn't know that much about the Department of Veterans Affairs. But the VA has simply made me stronger. I use the VA home loan, which is a great program, and it's allowed me to be financially secure. I used the post 9/11 GI Bill, and that made me Dr. Sowers, which is a huge benefit. And then I filed a claim, gone through the claims process, and now I get my health care through the VA. And in all these cases, it's made me much stronger. I want to make sure that the veterans that are out there know and understand their benefits, and hopefully choose to use them.
Having gone through that whole process and served in the military, it certainly gives you a lot of good experience for the job that you're in now.
I think so. And, you know, one of the things I learned in the military is you can't sit in the office and wonder what's happening out there. You got to get your boots on the ground. And it's one of the reasons why I'm glad to be here in Minnesota, seeing the great stuff today at the Minneapolis VA hospital. And now I'm down in St. Paul checking out the regional office. Great people here.
Dr. Sowers, can you tell me about your position with the Department of Veterans Affairs?
Sure. So as the Assistant Secretary for Public and Intergovernmental Affairs, I deal with the department's media relations, communications, the strategic partnerships, work very closely with the states, cities, and counties, and the veteran service organizations that are out there trying to help veterans.
So you actually, you say, put boots on the grounds. Are you actually out checking to make sure if the system's working right and then reporting back to headquarters?
Well, you know, I find that you get a different perspective when you're out on the front lines. And, you know, 2 weeks ago I was in Wales, Alaska, population 145. It's an Eskimo village where you can actually see Russia from Alaska. And why did I go out there? Well, I also have the tribal relations, and I wanted to see how we're delivering health care in one of the most remote villages in America. And turns out we're doing it. But until you get your boots on the ground there, it's all just reports and hearsay. I like to actually see it for myself.
So are some of the veterans up there using the internet to stay in touch with the VA hospitals?
That's exactly how they're doing it. We did an innovative partnership with the local tribes there, and they have these mobile carts that they use to deliver telehealth and telemedicine, even in Wales, Alaska.
It's interesting. I am a veteran, a Vietnam veteran, and I use the VA hospital, and it's fun how it's changed recently. You can go online and order prescriptions. You can go online and send a message to the doctor, mm-hmm. and shortly you get a message back. It's certainly changed. The internet and technology has changed things quite a bit.
Absolutely. And you know, the VA was it's the largest integrated healthcare system in America and one of the first to go to electronic records. And so as technology adapts, the VA is really trying to be on the leading edge. So I'm with you. I emailed my doctor through that messaging. We swapped about three or four messages this week, and that's a great feature that the VA has.
It really helps when you're traveling around the country, too, I'm sure.
It does. It does.
Dr. Sowers, I want to talk to you. We've seen a news press release here about the recent budget that came out. And there's some priorities in there. Can you tell us what the priorities are?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I haven't been in D.C. very long, but there's a maxim there that says, show me your budget and I'll tell you what you value. And, you know, these Congresses, Republicans and Democrats, this president, this secretary have fought hard to make sure the veterans receive benefits and care. So the budget has expanded significantly from about $90 billion to up over, the current request is up over $150 billion. That represents a lot of changes. One is we're seeing an increasing demand for services. My generation of veterans, Iraq and Afghanistan vets, are utilizing the VA at an unprecedentedly high rate. It's at over 50%. It's 56%. We've seen a million veterans go through the post-9/11 GI Bill. And then there's also specifics to these conflicts that are in the budget. We were just talking about $2.5 billion focused on prosthetics. And look, I was literally an hour ago, I was at the Minneapolis VA, and there I'm seeing a Vietnam vet who just lost his leg due to Agent Orange-related conditions being fitted for a new ankle prosthetic. And it looks like something that you'd see on the movies. I mean, this 3D motion capture really analyzes how they're using that leg. And this is an example of the VA really staying on the cutting edge and changing and adapting to the needs of veterans.
We're speaking with Dr. Tommy Sowers, Assistant Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Dr. Sowers, we were talking about that was a Vietnam veteran. I think you saw it at the VA hospital. The recent veterans from Afghanistan, Iraq, they're surviving injuries that we've never survived before. But some of the old veterans, like the Vietnam veterans, are suffering from maybe diabetes and losing limbs. Technology's really changed and medicine has changed as well. Is it hard to keep up with?
Well, you know, this is something that has been an important focus of the VA, is that for decades, a lot of conditions were not recognized in the same way. So an example is Agent Orange. For decades, really, we had known about conditions but hadn't really associated with their service and exposure to Agent Orange. Well, Secretary Shinseki is a wounded Vietnam veteran, and he said, it's time for justice. It's time to make this right. We've done the same thing for the Gulf War syndrome. We've done the same thing for post-traumatic stress. And what that's done is it's opened up the aperture. It's allowed hundreds of thousands more veterans to come into the system. But it's also created its own challenges that we're working through to address.
Dr. Sowers, I wanted to follow up. I looked at the budget and I saw that one of the items was $2.5 billion per prosthetics.
That's right.
That's really something that's a result of our recent veterans in the last 10 years surviving those injuries we didn't survive before. Is technology getting to the VA hospitals? I know the doctors are out on the front line, mm-hmm. and every time we have a war, doctors learn more and more, and they learn how to help our veterans survive.
Mm-hmm.
Are we keeping up with it?
Well, you know, I would say that there's been an unprecedented amount of focus and resources put into prosthetics. I'll give you an example. Part of my portfolio focuses on adaptive sports, because what we find is that veterans, when they lose a limb, you know, they want to get back and do the things that they were doing before. And a lot of these folks are active and young. So we do these clinics where people learn how to ski on one leg. I was skiing a month ago with a blinded veteran. I was surfing about 8 months ago at our summer sports clinic with a triple amputee. And, you know, this is one of the focus on the VA. It's not just to, you know, put on a prosthesis and say, okay, you're good, but really to rehabilitate, to allow these veterans to reintegrate. They've sacrificed so much for their country. It's the very least we can do.
Dr. Sowers, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about disability claims backlog and the homeless among veterans. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We've been talking with Dr. Tommy Sowers, Assistant Secretary from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Dr. Tommy Sowers, Assistant Secretary of Public and Intergovernmental Affairs from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. Sowers, that is a long title. I bet you do have two business cards. Sir, one of the things we want to talk about was, it's been in the press a lot lately, is what is the VA doing about the large number of disability claims in the backlog? I know there's a lot of troops that have been deployed over the last 10 years, and they're coming into the system, and it's probably a bit overwhelming.
Well, you know, President Obama and Secretary Shinseki and the employees at the VA know that this backlog of claims is unacceptable. As you just said, look, there has been an unprecedented demand, both from the ending of wars, but also really the increased number of Vietnam vets who are filing claims. It's a decades-old problem that has been in paper, and you know, this secretary didn't say we should look at it, we should focus at it. He said we're going to end this by 2015. So, you know, and part of this is, look, this secretary, he spent a lot of time in the military. He knows how to make tough decisions when they're right decisions. And so looking at veterans like Vietnam vets that have been denied their care due to Agent Orange, he said enough of that. I know it's going to be tough. I know we're going to get an increased demand, but it's the right thing to do. But to answer your question of what are we doing about it, the main thing is we got to move from a 19th century paper-based system to the 21st century. And it's one of the reasons why I'm here today. Minnesota and the processing that occurs here in the Twin Cities, it's one of the best in the nation. And where the average claim now is taking about 255 days to process here, the average is their average days pending is just about 80 days. And I'm here to understand it, and I'm here to meet with the local officials and get a better sense of how they're doing it so well here.
So how big is the backlog?
So right now there are about 580,000 claims that are pending over 125 days. So that's the numbers as of now.
So it's a question of providing more people to process the claims. I'm hearing you saying we're going to make the move from paper to technology. Mm-hmm. We're going to computers. But in the meantime, you must have added some people and tried to help them in terms of evaluating the claims.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, look, we have this incredibly high demand, so we put more people on it. We've focused on building in better business processes, and then the technology fix is a big one. But a huge thing is that is partnering with the veteran service organizations and the veterans themselves. Only about 5% of the claims that we get are filed with all the paper that we need in order to assess it. So we spend about 2/3 of the time going and hunting down this paper. So we've got to educate folks on the advantages of filing these claims, but also filing them completely and partnering with these veteran service organizations so that they help us with this task.
Dr. Sowers, we've said on this program many times over the last couple of years that if a veteran has an issue, the first place to go is the County Veteran Service Office.
That's right.
And I know they go through extensive training. Is it a question of making sure that the County Veteran Service Officers know what paperwork is necessary to speed up the process so that when the first claim goes in, it's pretty complete?
I think that's part of it. That absolutely is. And look, I met with Larry, who is your State Director of Veterans Affairs. We've got a close working relationship and partnership with him. But yeah, every both the veteran that is filing their claim, there's a right way to do it, and then there's a more challenged way to do it. And we've got to educate those veterans and the County Veteran Service Officers on the best way to file these claims.
And as you said, the secretary is determined to catch up with these claims backlog. You think he can do it as fast as he wants to?
Well, look, you know, it's one of the reasons why I'm here today is that they've set the goal of 125 days. And again, this is a pretty complicated process. You got to receive a claim. You got to tell the veteran the additional paperwork they need. You got to schedule a medical appointment. The veteran has to go to the medical appointment. You have to get the records. You have to rate the claim. And the secretary set the goal of we're going to do all that in 4 months, 125 days. Here in Minnesota, they're doing it on average under 3 months. So they're already beating that as an average. So we're seeing good progress, and I want to see more here today when I head over to the regional office.
We're speaking with Dr. Tommy Sowers, Assistant Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Dr. Sowers, another one of your priorities is to eliminate homelessness among veterans. You know, we've had a homeless veterans problem as long as I can remember, and I know the secretary wants to eliminate this too. Isn't that kind of a like proven a negative? Isn't it difficult to determine how many are out there and how are we going to help them? I know in Minnesota we have the MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, that do stand downs and mm-hmm. they've got housing programs. How do we eliminate it?
Well, it's another example of, you know, this secretary takes on some tough tasks. It's not just we need to focus on homeless veterans. We need to eliminate homelessness as part of an experience for veterans. And we've seen really good progress on this. In the last 4 years nationwide, there's been a 17% decline. And how does that happen? We count them. Every January, the HUD, in partnership with the VA, goes out and counts all the homeless folks in shelters and on streets, and we ask them what their veteran status. So just here in Minnesota, 2 years ago, the count was 1,428. Last year, it was 928, and this year, we expect it to land somewhere around 600. So we're seeing some rapid progress, especially here in Minnesota. The president, the secretary, the Congress have put a lot of resources into it, so it's pedal to the metal until 2015.
Dr. Sowers, we've had a lot of folks on the show over the last couple of years, and it seems like Minnesota's at the forefront of. We started the Beyond the Yellow program. Mm-hmm. The MACV's doing a great job. Commissioner Shelledo and his people are out there. The training for the county veteran service officers are incredible. Is Minnesota a shining example for the nation, or are we ahead of everyone else, or are there some really tough states out there?
Well, look, what I'm seeing so far in Minnesota is exactly that. I mean, it's because when we look at veterans and delivering services, what I think Minnesota clearly understands is that this is not just the VA. This is not just a federal challenge. This is something that there's a lot of folks that can and should put their shoulder to the wheel. We see it with the state, at the county, the local veteran service organizations, great political leadership here as well. So it's it truly is an example.
So Dr. Sowers is, I'm assuming, part of the reason you travel around the country is to pick up best practices and share them with other states. Have you been able to pick up some good things everywhere you go?
Absolutely. And I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm here. Look, at the haircut I'm sporting right now, I got at a homeless stand down in Fargo, North Dakota last week. And what made that great? Minnesota was there as well at the stand down. It had a partnership with state and local leaders. So that's part of my job, is to make sure that the good ideas that happen here in Minnesota are not just isolated here, but we share those and propagate those around the nation.
Dr. Sowers, I know you've been in this position for almost a year, coming up on a year. Can you tell our listeners here in Minnesota, what are you seeing from Congress? Are they fully behind this? Are they committed to the pact that we made with our service members when they joined the military and risked their lives? Are they really behind this full time?
Well, look, you know, I think on veterans issues, this has been one of those bipartisan issues where both parties have come together and said that, you know, this burden of securing our nation has been carried by a few, and we want to make sure that we take care of them. So what's important, though, is that if passes prologue, what tends to happen is when the guns go silent, people's attention drifts away from veterans. And as you just said, look, we've got veterans that lost limbs in these wars, and we're going to need to take care of them, not just today, not just next year, but 10, 20, 30 years from now. So we want to make sure that we keep the issue in the forefront of the minds of our legislators.
Dr. Sowers, have you had any surprises in your first year in this position?
Yeah, I mean, it's... the VA is just bigger than I thought it was. I mean, it's the largest integrated healthcare system in America. There's 300 vet centers out there. We're the seventh largest mortgage company. We've got the largest education program. So the VA is just, it's big, it's broad, it's expansive, and it's just delivering a lot of good for a lot of veterans out there. We can be better, and we're focused on that. But boy, it's changed the lives of millions of veterans.
Dr. Sowers, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our Minnesota veterans before you move on to your next appointment?
Well, I'll just say this. There's a lot of your listeners out there that utilize the VA, and only about 40% of veterans out there utilize the VA. There's about 60% that just don't have a lot of awareness about it. So I want to thank you first for doing this show, which increases the awareness. But I want to challenge the veterans that are out there that are benefiting from this. You know the other veterans. They may not need the healthcare service, but they may want to be buried with honor. They should know about that. They may not need the education service right now, but they should know about the home loan program. And veterans learn from other veterans. So I encourage those veterans out there whose lives are better because of the VA to tell their buddy about it and don't leave them behind.
Dr. Sowers, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule for stopping by to see us today.
Of course, Tom. I look forward to coming back.
That was Dr. Tommy Sowers, Assistant Secretary of Public and Intergovernmental Affairs with the Department of Veterans Affairs. Coming up next, we'll learn about some veteran-friendly changes at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about some veteran-friendly changes at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Today is a special day. Today we salute all our unsung heroes, the fathers out there. These dads might be veterans, currently serving, returning home from deployment, or may have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in service to this country. This is a time when the community comes together to acknowledge fathers for their love, strength, protection, and guidance. The influence of fathers has a tremendous impact on families and society overall. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, I want to wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has announced the launch of their newly redesigned website at MinnesotaVeteran.org. In its continuing effort to be in the forefront of providing the best service and care for the state's 370,000 veterans, the website is designed to be user-friendly with improved navigation that will serve as a vehicle to help Minnesotans get timely information and news. Joining us now to talk about the new website for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Dan Abdul and Grant Hartman. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Dan, we'll start with you. I understand you're a veteran.
Yes, I am. I was in the Minnesota National Guard and served for 7.5 years, had 2 deployments, and was a flight medic.
And how long have you been at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
3 years now. Officially, I report to the Central Technology Agency for the state, but I represent the department as the CIO.
The CIO, can you explain us what is your job?
At the Chief Information Officer, so I oversee technology.
All right. And it must be great as a veteran to have joined the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to help make sure we take care of all our veterans in Minnesota.
It's an absolute joy.
Great job. And Grant, how long have you been with the MDVA?
I started interning there for about 5 months last winter, and then I got hired on full-time last July, so I'm closing in on my first full year.
All right, gentlemen, we've been looking at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website. I have for years. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And this change is amazing. Can you tell us, Dan, what led up to this change?
Well, I think a number of things. The most important thing was that we were hearing from veterans that it wasn't effective in communicating what they needed to know. So a lot of it was driven by communication with veterans and a lot of planning to ensure that we give veterans the information relevant to them.
And Grant, did the department do a lot of research into what was necessary and what was needed before they started rebuilding the site?
We did. We consulted with an outside company, and what they did was they got most of our audience together, or members of our audience, and sat them down and went over the topics that we intend to cover, and we had them kind of sorted out and what would go together with what, so they could figure out a logical way to get the answers that they needed.
And, of course, your audience is veterans in Minnesota.
Exactly.
And I would assume you talked to all age groups?
Yep. Most of them, I believe, were from Vietnam era, but there are also some younger veterans that we covered with.
Talking to some of us who have been around a couple of years then.
Yeah, definitely.
Dan, what did those Vietnam veterans tell you? They couldn't find anything on the old website and make it easier?
That's the best way to sum it up. So, you know, different people have different ways they like to use their computers, but bottom line, they wanted something user-friendly and that they could find the information easier. So there was also input that we could improve the aesthetics, the look and feel of it, so we did that as well.
Somebody used the word retro the other day when we were looking at the website. I look at it, and it looks like it's easy to navigate, and it's easy to find several, you know, the spots where you click on to find the different things like memorials, veteran homes, benefits, and resources. Looks like it's user-friendly. Looks like it's easy to use. I have looked a bit, Dan.
That's good.
How long did it take you to where did you start?
We started by trying to understand the problem we're trying to address. Once we knew that, as Grant alluded to, we consulted with an outside firm that helped us do some focus groups, some research with veterans. Most of the veterans in the state of Minnesota at this time are Vietnam-era veterans, so we made sure they were included. And we really wanted to understand what they wanted to see out of a website.
So, Grant, I would assume that if you're talking to Vietnam veterans, they've got issues from claims to veteran homes to memorials to all of these different items in here. And all they really want to know is, how can I find information and find it kind of quick, don't they?
Exactly. So that's what we found with our user testing was, we have a strong site architecture now. So when people met in the focus group and they categorized those items, it followed a logic path so people could get to the answers that they needed.
Okay, Dan, site architecture. You're the guy that built this, right? Or one of them?
I was the guy that oversaw the building of it.
So how do you work on that? How's that all pulled together?
Well, site architecture is just a big term for we understand what the users want, and it's sort of like building your house. You want the first thing you see when you walk into maybe be a grand room. So we kept it that simple when we were talking to veterans. And so once we went to build it, we ensured that the information was laid out in the same way. Now, obviously, we used a sample of veterans, so people might look at the site and say, well, I would have preferred this, but we think we're a lot closer by doing that to what most veterans will be looking for.
We're speaking with Dan Abdul and Grant Hartman from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about their new website, which can be found at minnesotaveteran.org on minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Dan, how long did it take you to build this website? As I looked through it earlier this week, there are a lot of pages. There's a lot of information here. It must have taken a while.
It did. It took us about a year to complete. The interesting thing is we spent probably about 65% of that time on the actual planning before we could show anyone anything consumable, which we felt was the right way to do it.
So did you end up with some big charts to try to relate to everything you wanted to put on the site?
It was actually a lot of post-its that we then had to stick in different categories and go back and talk to the veterans, and they'd say, no, move this over here. So post-it worked really well for this.
Well, thank God for 3M in Minnesota, right?
Amen.
I'll have to tell the 3M Military Support Network that they were helpful and instrumental in helping create this new site, which once again can be found at minnesotaveteran.org. So first you had to find out what material you want on the website and how much was out there, which was a lot of material, and then try to organize it in some kind of fashion where it can be found relatively easy.
Correct.
Sounds easy. Wasn't, was it?
Not easy at all. There's a million ways, if not more, to put all this information together. But what you're looking for is a logical way where a veteran from any era would look at it and be able to relate that, oh, this is probably where I want to go. And I think it's important to call out that we don't think the process is over. We spend a lot of time looking at information on how users are using it so that we can improve things as we find them to maybe not be the best that we can deliver.
So, Grant, was this process kind of a management by committee?
Our communications team got together and went through basically every single page that existed on our old site, and we decided what was important and what we wanted to highlight and where that would fall in the new map that we had and how it would most easily be accessed.
Part of the problem, and I think using your terms, is the old site was a little hard to navigate. It was hard to find some information that you wanted.
It was, and a lot of that came from back in 2007 was when we merged with the veterans homes. And so there's kind of two existing sites there. And what we really wanted to focus on was bringing those together so that people would be able to find information on either side in one cohesive and aesthetically pleasing way.
And of course, as I'm looking at the homepage and you look across the top, you've got tabs up there, home, about the MDVA, mm-hmm. news, resources and benefits, veterans homes, memorials and burials, and link vet support. And within each of those pages, there are subcategories that you can get to pretty easily. So to me, it looks like it's relatively easy to find things. I'll have to play with it some more and see how that works.
Well, that's good to hear.
Are you still getting feedback, and are you expecting feedback going forward and going to just try to keep this one up to date as you go?
We are. We've been getting a lot of good feedback so far, and people are really commenting on how much easier it is to find what they need to get to. And I have recently become addicted to seeing where our users are going. And so if we can identify an issue as they travel throughout the site, we can figure out pretty quickly, maybe we should refocus on how they're getting to that.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I want to talk about your analytics on the site where you can figure out where they're going and how they're navigating it. And I want to talk a little bit about whether or not you set it up so that you can easily update the site. So far, so good. You're doing great, guys. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Major General Rick Nash, Minnesota's Adjutant General, encouraging you to hire today's veterans. Today's veterans have a track record of integrity and have triumph over adversity. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Hiring a service member just makes sense. Veterans have the training, work ethic, and proven skills that will immediately add value to your business. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran. Visit PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Dan Abdul and Grant Hartman from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we've been talking about their new website that was just put up this week, which you can see at minnesotaveteran.org. Dan, we alluded before we went to the break to analytics. You must have had some reports on your old website that showed what pages people viewed, and now you've got some better analytics on this one that, as you said, kind of show actually how they get to where they want to get to. That must be a big difference. It must be, those things must have been helpful in building new site.
Absolutely. So we looked at the analytics on the old site, and while it was quite limited, we were able to tell right away some areas where we could do some improvements. But right now, what we do with our new analytics is we can watch in near real time what users are doing on the site. And if one user, let's say out of 300, takes a while to find what he or she wants, we don't simply react to that. But if we notice a pattern, then we want to make sure that we address that. So we go back and we talk to some more of our user community and say, why is this particular thing harder to find? And then we can adjust that.
So I imagine for any specific item they want to find, there's probably multiple ways to get to it, but if you're finding one specific thing where they go through 2, 3, 4 pages to get there, then maybe there's a way to make that quicker and easier.
Exactly. And if we find that most people are using one particular thing, and that is maybe 4 clicks into the website, we could look at maybe moving it up to 2 clicks, since that's what most people are using. So there are different things you can do with analytics to make it a much better site.
Now, Grant, we talked a little bit during the break that you kind of track how people are using the website and where they're going and how many people are on it. Are you actually sitting there looking at a screen and just going,
I am. I'm starting to get pretty annoying anytime someone walks by my desk and it's, hey, 40 people are online right now. Half of them are going to benefits and resources. The other half are going to the veterans' homes. And you can also see where around the world we've gotten popular so far. But so to everyone in Sydney, Australia, thanks for checking out the site.
Dan, do you have to take him out and walk him around a couple times a day to settle him down?
You know, we've been trying to come up with strategies on how we can get him to focus on other things, too, because he seems to be in a trance with a new website now.
I don't know where this became the Pick on Grant show, but I'm sure you're concerned with making the content readily available and making it easier for the veterans to find it.
Exactly. And that's a new feature that we have is our blog, which we didn't have before. So if we have something interesting that we'd like to promote, let's say the Ride for Healing that's been going on, it wouldn't really make sense to put in many places on our site. But since we have it on our blog, we can help highlight other organizations and the activities going around the state.
So are you the chief blogger then?
I am, sort of. We also have an intern who's recently started helping with that.
And to a non-computer user, how do you explain a blog?
A blog is kind of like a newsletter. So let's say you want to have like a front page story. We can just kind of post that up on the blog and send it out through our channels, whether it be our newsletters or social media, and let people know that, hey, this is interesting. It's up and you can check it out now.
Then if the veterans want to comment on that, is there an opportunity for them to do that as well?
There actually is. So if we aren't around to help answer a story outside of business hours and someone else might have an answer to a question that's been posted on the blog, another user can come on and say, hey, here's a helpful resource that you can find.
So collectively, the veterans of Minnesota can help each other in case it is after hours.
Yeah, they definitely can.
Well, that should be an interesting one to look at and watch and see whether or not they start using it.
Yeah, we're really excited. I'm also checking that out pretty regularly.
Dan, I want to come back to you. Are there new features on here that you're more excited about than others?
Yes, I think one feature, and it's not really new. We've had some people might be familiar with LinkVet. They're a partner of ours, a very strong partner of ours, that provide support to veterans 7 days a week, ranging from anywhere from benefits to, you know, how to get medical help. Well, what we've done is we've completely integrated it within our site. So if you go to our site, you can click ask a question, or you'll actually get a pop-up that says, do you want to chat? And you can chat with someone live around, you know, any question you have, whether it's the Minnesota GI Bill, and you'd be able to get instant response.
Dan, veterans probably shouldn't use this site in case of emergencies, but if they're looking for emergency phone numbers, are they on here somewhere?
Yes, yeah, so, you know, we definitely do not advertise it as the emergency, as a site for emergency, but we do have contact for the Veteran Crisis Line, which we think is important to have out there.
We've been speaking with Dan Abdul and Grant Hartman from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about their new website that is user-friendly, and you should check it out at minnesotaveteran.org. Dan, we've just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about the site and all the work it took to put it up? It looks great.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the veterans and the veteran family members that helped us in developing it, and also just thank everyone within the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Minute, which is the state central technology organization that contributed to making this possible.
Well, it looks very good. Looks like you did a great job. Grant, any thoughts or keys for our veterans on how to most easily use this site, since you know it as well as you do?
If you just head to minnesotaveteran.org, and hopefully you'll be able to easily navigate where you need to get to go. You can also sign up for our newsletter there, so you can get a monthly newsletter from us. We also have weekly ones. And it's a really great way to stay connected and learn things that are going on around Minnesota.
So if our veterans want to stay up to date, they sign up for that newsletter and it'll come to their computers. Is that how that works?
Yep. You enter your email address and you can select what you want information on, and you can get as many or as few contacts as you'd like.
I'll have to see if I can find out where to do that on your website and sign up. We'll
Top
see how it works,
corner.
Guys.
Perfect.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right. Thank you for having us.
That
was Dan Abdul and Grant Hartman from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs unveiling their new website, which can be found at minnesotaveteran.org. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom.
Tim, I wanted to, you've been on the show a few times, and we've had Doug Bly and lots of folks from the Patriot Guard on for a couple of years here, but I wanted to focus today on the mission of the Minnesota Patriot Guard and the Minnesota Patriot Guard Riders. Can you explain that to me?
Well, our mission is really to give honor, dignity, and respect to our fallen heroes. Fallen heroes are veterans that have signed up and some have given their life in the field. Some of them retired and passed away, but they still served, and they gave us what we have today. And we want to make sure that they have honor, dignity, and respect as their last rites.
And, of course, the Patriot Guard came together in the first place to kind of insulate the families of the fallen from protesters.
We call them uninvited guests.
All right, uninvited guests. Very good. Very diplomatic, Tim. But can you tell us a little bit, what are the scopes of the missions that you go on? What's the focus?
Our focus is the funerals, deployments, welcome homes. We have other groups that are very good at doing the remembrance rides and riding and making sure that the families are remembered. But that's what we focus on, is really our mission is to give honor, dignity, and respect to our fallen heroes, funerals, welcome homes when they come home, when they deploy, we want to be there just to say thank you.
And you have riders all over the state, and you've divided up the state into different areas so that if there's a need in a certain area, you go out to that ride captain, and you post it, and then whoever wants to show up can show up.
Yes, we just communicate what's going on to our members, and they always show up. I've never been disappointed.
And the riders show up, and some of them have vests like you're wearing, and they have a flag and a pole and a good heart, and they line up and honor, as you say, honor, dignity, respect the fallen warrior that they're dealing with, or to say hello or goodbye to the troops coming and going from deployments.
Yes.
Tim, we also want to talk a little bit. Yesterday you had the Patriot Ride.
Yes, we did.
Must be a big job to set that up every year.
It's a huge job. It usually takes a team of probably, between Dennis Kirk, which is the people that present it, and the Patriot Guard actually helps them run it. And it's huge. It takes 6 to 8 months to put it together for one day.
So it's your big fundraiser of the year. Lots of volunteers, lots of sponsors, and an amazing event for those that haven't made it. Go next year, because to watch all of those motorcycles start at once is just incredible.
Yes, it's a loud noise.
Tim, we're just about out of time. I ask you this every time, but I ask you again, who's eligible to be a Patriot?
Anybody's eligible. You don't need a motorcycle. You don't need a vest. All you need is a 3x5 flag. Go to our website, mnpatriotguard.org, and on there is a calendar. And you can look up to see what we do. There's a place to join, and what that does is put you on an email list, and we'll send you out the information that's pertinent to your area, and you show up with a flag, and we'll tell you what to do from there.
Tim, you and your riders are doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us today. It was Tim Leonhard from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Tommy Sowers, Dan Abdul, Grant Hartman, Tim Leonhard, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we discover the Minnesota State Fair's upcoming Military Appreciation Day and discuss the World War II History Roundtable events here in Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.